This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Michael Moore has thrown his support to Wesley Clark with a letter to his fans on his website entitled, "I'll be voting for Wesley Clark. Goodbye, Mr. Bush." He is quoted as saying, "I have decided to cast my vote in the primary for Wesley Clark. That's right, a peacenik voting for a general. What a country. I believe that Wesley Clark will end this war. He will make the rich pay their fair share of taxes. He will stand up for the rights of women, African Americans, and the working people of this country. And he will cream George W. Bush." Surveys indicate a recent surge in support for Clark in New Hampshire, site of the campaign's first primary, may be taking hold nationwide. The poll appeared to reflect Clark's sudden rise in support in New Hampshire, where private polling by two campaigns showed that Dean's once formidable 25-point lead had shrunk to single digits. Bulgaria said on Thursday it had temporarily cut its peacekeeping duties in Iraq due to its soldiers' anger and plunging morale after a car bomb killed five of their colleagues last month. Chief of Staff Nikola Kolev told a news conference that coalition allies had taken over patrolling at some checkpoints around Iraq's holy city of Karbala and escorting convoys transporting food, fuel, arms, and soldiers from Kuwait to Iraq. He said the main reason to give up some of their duties for the time being was concern that troops could clash with locals after the bombing, which injured dozens and destroyed one of their bases in the city. George W. Bush is seen in Europe as an emperor, and many Europeans find that difficult to accept, says Prime Minister Jose Aznar. The combination of being a Republican, of being an emperor, a Texan, and outspoken is a really bad mix, Aznar said in an interview Wednesday. The Prime Minister said he had kidded Bush about his image in Europe, telling him he outdid former President Reagan in unpopularity. Barely half of Americans say George W. Bush deserves to remain in the White House. One poll found that 42% believe Bush does not deserve to return to office, compared with 51% who think he does. Democrats triumphed primarily on domestic issues, with 51% saying they were better placed to handle the environment, the highest score for either party on any issue. 48% preferred the Democrats on health care, and 45% picked them to deal with Social Security. More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Runners with the fastest feet usually win medals, but cattle that hoof it too fast may yield tougher stakes. Jerry Baker, a University of Georgia livestock specialist, has developed a scoring system that allows cattle owners to assess the temperaments of cattle so that they can breed calmer calves. Scientific studies conducted in Australia, Colorado, and elsewhere have shown that serene cattle gain weight faster and provide more tender meat than cranky cattle. When meat from the cattle used in the Georgia test was checked, the most tender cuts came from cattle with calm dispositions.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
When you hear a highly paid athlete say about a new contract, "It's not about the money," you can bet it's about the money. Likewise, when you hear a corporate chieftain say about a new advertising campaign, "It's not meant to be intrusive," you can bet it's meant to be very intrusive. Indeed, the very idea of advertising is to intrude into your head, doing whatever it takes to get there and plant a brand name like some alien pod of commercialization. Take the exec who made the not-intrusive assertion. He's a Toyota honcho, and he just ponied up $100 million for branding rights to the basketball stadium in Houston. That means that this taxpayer-built facility will now be called the Toyota Center. It'll be covered inside and out with Toyota's logo and ads. Its lounge will be named Lexus Lounge. Its parking garage will be named for Toyota's Tundra trucks. It will have Toyota vehicles positioned prominently throughout the arena. And there will be a Toyota sales office at the games, staffed with sales reps hawking the cars. But at least, it's not meant to be intrusive. Then there's the brand new public monorail system in Las Vegas. Its naming rights are being sold to corporations that'll plaster the place with their logos and ads as though they own it. First to buy into this monorail was Nextel, the phone huckster. It'll have one of the system's trains covered with its corporate colors, name, logo, and promos. One of the monorail's main stops will be named the Nextel Station, complete with a store and a Nexpert bar staffed with employees promoting products. Yet Nextel's VP for marketing says, "I'm sensitive to the issue of over-commercialization." Yeah, like a hog is sensitive to overeating. You want sensitive? The ad agency peddling the people's monorail says it doesn't see the system as transportation, but as transportainment. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Take me now, Lord. I've lived too long."
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to music. Say bye to the song we can sing. This time we'll say bye.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The planets must be in some kind of weird alignment. George W. Bush crashes the Dr. Martin Luther King birthday memorial here in Atlanta this afternoon after addressing a fundraiser for veterans in New Orleans. And then here in Atlanta, after bastardizing and polluting the King celebration and memorial, he attends a fundraiser hosted by, where he's introduced by, Democrat Zell Miller. Things are getting topsy-turvy, right? Now, the interesting part about his trip to New Orleans to raise some money, ostensibly for this. Come on, Mike. For this National D-Day Museum in New Orleans. That's what it is. A luncheon. He appeared at a luncheon at the National D-Day Museum in New Orleans. Now, this is a deserter who guts Veterans Administration programs. The irony here is so thick, you could cut it with, I know, a butter knife. Protesters were outside in New Orleans. Protesters were all over the place here in Atlanta. In both cities, the public event was just a prelude or subsequent to the fundraising. While he was in New Orleans and Atlanta, he raised approximately $2.5 million more dollars for his already bulging campaign account. This guy has absolutely no boundaries between the sacred and the profane, just none whatsoever. Instead of honoring the legacy of Dr. King, Bush once again decided to use King Day as a tool to force the federal government into subsidizing these fundraising trips that he makes, right? According to the Daily Misread, who quotes the New York Times, is reporting that Bush hastily planned, didn't even wait for an invitation, hastily planned a visit to King's tomb. He then immediately did go to a $2,000 a person fundraiser here in Atlanta. And even though Bush will spend the majority of his time, or did spend, he's gone now, the air is a little bit clearer, a little bit easier to breathe here. Even though he spent the majority of his time hanging out with the donors at his fundraiser, the fact that he will briefly visit King's grave allows him to categorize the entire trip as official and then bill you and me, taxpayers, for portions of the huge cost of whatever hotel rooms he takes over, rental cars, security, travel. And those are not small costs. The Washington Post notes that Air Force One alone costs $57,000 an hour to operate. The man knows absolutely no boundaries between the sacred and the profane. He really doesn't. When President Clinton came to town on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, we had crowds pouring into the streets to watch him lay a wreath at the foot of King's grave. The streets here in Atlanta were full, again, around the King Center, the King Memorial, the King gravesite, the King the fountain, reflecting pool. But these are not people that were here to celebrate the arrival of this warmongering, murderous George Bush. No. These were people who were protesting loudly. There were several arrests. What the authorities did this time, they brought these huge buses. First of all, they kept the protesters across the street. And then they brought in huge buses and parked them right in front of the protesters. So the protesters were, in effect, shouting at the sides of buses so that His Honor, George W. Bush, His Majesty, this murderous thug, would not be disturbed with the unsightly scene of protesters telling him to get the hell out of Atlanta, no blood for oil, the whole thing, right? So the authorities here decided, well, we've got to protect Mr. Bush, not from anything even remotely violent, but to protect him from seeing people who think he's a clown and a fool. Members of the Concerned Black Clergy here is quoted as saying Bush's administration has never supported anything to help the poor, to help education or children. It's all about isolationism and greed for the upper class. That's not promoting the legacy of Dr. King. Yesterday and today, Before he got here, there were marches in the neighborhood where the King Center is, with bullhorns and signs and drums and shouts of Bush to stay the hell away. And again, the irony, we are awash with irony tonight. We are saturated with irony. Irony has plastered our hairs, the few remaining that we have, to our head. The irony here in Atlanta, Georgia, is thick. This evening, how could George Bush, who is a warmonger, honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was the epitome of nonviolent resistance to the planet's wrongs and injustices? How? Well, one of the signs of the demonstration, several of the signs said, Mr. Bush is not a photo op. Of course, it was a photo op. Another one of the ministers here, who is aligned with the Concerned Black Clergy. This minister runs the Providence Missionary Baptist Church. He pointed to Dr. King's tomb and said, quote, it's quite possible that Dr. King will get out of his grave there and say, what's going on here? You're killing so many people. Well, that didn't happen. There was no rising from the grave by the ghost or the corpse of Dr. Martin Luther King, but we did have a ghost or a corpse walking amongst us here, and that was George W. Bush. Reverend Timothy McDonald, who is also a member of Atlanta's Concerned Black Clergy, said, it's the epitome of insult, Bush showing up. He's really come here for the fundraiser. The King wreath laying was an afterthought. And as the Chicago Tribune reported late this afternoon, hundreds of protesters shouted objections as "too stupid to be president" laid a wreath at the tomb of Martin Luther King Jr. Police worked to block protesters who pushed past barricades. Two people were arrested. They were beating drums, chanting "Go home, Bush," and waving signs saying "War is not the answer," "Bush no more" in 2004. And of course, Bush appeared unfazed by the protest. Of course he is. Bush looks at it and says, "Hey, I love protest. I just love it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a damn thing. And wait till I'm re-elected, and then we shall see what happens to these little rat-ass protesters." But in the meantime, hey, ain't it the great country? Now, while he was in New Orleans, before he came to Atlanta, in New Orleans, he had pushed his plan to let religious charities compete for federal dollars. You know, this is the faith-based thing. He said, his words, "The miracle of salvation is the key to solving society's most intractable problems." No, moron, the miracle of salvation is not. The miracle of salvation may be a viable tool to solve some of an individual's most intractable problems, although I don't believe that either. But what is needed to solve society's intractable problems are, oh, let's see. During the Clinton years, when everybody had jobs, or it seemed like everybody had jobs, wasn't it interesting how hate crimes diminished, robberies diminished, rapes diminished, murders diminished, jobs went up, income went up, so-called minorities were able to buy homes, the middle class were able to send their children to college, Pell Grants went up, so-called poor people were able to do things that heretofore they were not able to do. That's what it takes, Mr. Bush, not a bunch of people expecting the miracle of salvation. It takes jobs. It takes income. It takes stability. It takes peace. It takes leadership. Bush in New Orleans used himself as an example of the good that religion can do, referring to his decision to stop drinking at age 40, quote, "because I changed in my heart." As he loves to do, surrounded by walls and walls of security, he went to a black church, Union Bethel AME Church, in what the Chicago Tribune describes as a crime-plagued neighborhood near New Orleans downtown. He said, "Faith-based programs are only effective because they practice faith." Okay. "It's important for our government to understand that." Well, you know what, George? I think a lot of people would like to tell you to take your faith and stick it in your ear and maybe do something about a decent job or safety for Americans by not invading countries or cutting back on this humongous defense budget, no more tax breaks for the wealthy. You know, just by doing that, you're guaranteeing a one-way ticket to hell. George, how many times does Jesus or whoever have to say that rich people go nowhere? Rich people die and rot while demons devour their bodies. Only the meek, only the poor, only the humble will know the kingdom of... Oh, never mind. Never mind. The National D-Day Museum in New Orleans. Now, here in Atlanta, oh, my God, we had live coverage. It was, I don't know if it was, probably was timed to coincide with our local news and the national news. Saxby Chambliss, the embarrassment, the Republican thug who, during last year's election... I'm sorry, the election in 2002, I guess it was, when he defeated Max Cleland by using voting machines here that stole the election from Max Cleland. Saxby Chambliss was the one who put together a political ad that showed the face of Max Cleland, a triple amputee from Vietnam, morphing into the face of Osama bin Laden. That's how vile and filthy Saxby Chambliss was. Well, when we come back, I'll tell you what who was on that podium and who introduced George W. Bush and what they all had to say about each other. It was, I guess I'm not allowed to say what I think it was on the air. If you were ever a teenage boy, you know what it was.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. A little bit later in the program tonight, we'll have some sound bites from Simple Scotty McClellan that you've got to hear. But back to a couple hours ago here in Atlanta, on the podium, it was like a group of teenage boys. Now, if you're a teenage, if you were ever a teenage boy, especially back in the 50s and 60s, you know what, every time a group of teenage boys would get together at somebody's house and mom and dad were gone, and somebody would finally come up with the suggestion. I can't use the term on the air, probably, but you know what I'm talking about, if you're a teenage boy, ever. That's what it looked like at Georgia's World Congress Center, hall here in Atlanta, at about 6 o'clock this evening. On the podium stood Saxby Chambliss, a coward who used some of the most vicious attack ads in the history of Republican politics to defeat. That was part of the reason he defeated Max Cleland. The other reason he defeated Max Cleland was the voter fraud that was perpetrated here in Georgia by the Republicans, by the voting machines. Most of us here in Georgia understand that. The election was stolen. Now, also on the podium was Sonny Perdue. Check out these names, Saxby Chambliss, Sonny Perdue. Sonny Perdue is a rather large, hairless creature who is kind of spooky looking at him. He looks like a South Georgia tobacco farmer. He was, in fact, a Georgia legislator, and then he ran for governor here in Georgia. And he ran on a platform of restoring the Confederate battle emblem onto the Georgia flag, which had been removed by the state legislature under Democratic Governor Roy Barnes a couple of years ago. So Sonny Perdue, of course, this was all spoken in code, but what Sonny Perdue said to the rednecks and freaks in Georgia was, "Hey, you vote for me, and we'll let you folks decide about that wonderful Confederate battle flag." Of course, he's not going to do it now that he's elected, but that's how he got elected. It activated, as they say, the Republican base here in Georgia. The Republican base in Georgia is like the Republican base anywhere in the United States. They're uneducated freaks. They're either rednecks if they're in the South, or they're bigots if they're in the North. Stupid people who love to be led, who like a strong daddy, who will kick their ass if they don't do what they're told, who will make sure mom stays in line. You know the type I'm talking about. So these are the folks that Georgians elected in the last election. Now, again, let me qualify elected, because everybody in Georgia understands that the voting machines were tampered with and the election was stolen. But this is that's the face of the future. That's what we're faced with, without a paper trail, without understanding how the votes were cast and for whom. We're all screwed, period. End of story. It happened here in Georgia. It happened in Florida. It happened in Kentucky and Tennessee. Now, then we have Zell Miller. Zell Miller. Oh, my God. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate this guy? I used to campaign for Zell Miller. He was a lieutenant governor here, which is an elected position, I think, for 16 years. And he was governor for 8. He's a hillbilly from North Georgia Mountains, and it's very difficult to understand George, just like Zell, just like it was difficult to understand Representative John Lewis from the 5th Congressional District here, which is the city of Atlanta. John Lewis had so thick of an accent you could barely understand what he was saying, and Zell Miller had so thick of an accent you could barely understand what he was saying. They both must have taken elocution lessons. You can now understand both of them very clearly. And there was Zell Miller on the podium doing for George Bush what Monica did for Bill Clinton. Only Zell did it with a smile on his face, a song in his heart, a smirk on his lips, talking about how George, he wished he, Zell Miller, had the steel-like spine of George Bush. Can you believe it? At that point, I took a sledgehammer to my television.
Fat old horse. My TV's broke. My life's a joke. And a sheriff moved next door. But I don't frown. Don't get me down. I got something good to say. Does a little bit of lakeside trailer park and everything's gonna be okay. It's so serene, white and clean. So safe in here, I could spend all year.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are starting to pay more attention to cool coral. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of coral reefs grow in the warm waters of the tropics, but scientists are starting to find more coral in very different environments. They're finding it in water that's cold, deep, and sometimes very far north. Bob Stone is a marine ecologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he works out of a laboratory near Juneau, Alaska. He's documented an expanse of coral organisms near the Aleutian Islands in more than 1,000 feet of water. Stone says people have known for years that coral grew in those waters. Commercial fishing operations routinely dragged pieces of it to the surface in fishing gear. But no one knew what the seascape looked like until the summer of 2002. That's when Stone rowed to the seafloor in a small research submarine and took pictures.
I said it reminded me very much of places that I've been to in the tropics, and it did, both in terms of the colors and the structure of the corals. You know, some of them are low-lying, some of them are high, some of them look like trees, some look like bushes. So it truly looked like a tropical seascape to me. Most of them are orange, of course. That seems to be the predominant color for a lot of our sea life in these northern latitudes. I'm not really sure why, but there were other colors too, you know, some greens and purples and even some blue sponges and stuff.
Stone says the ocean bottom was like a vast, colorful garden. He routinely uses the term coral garden to distinguish these environments from coral reefs that form in much warmer water. The cool corals are fragile and grow slowly, and people are worried that they're being seriously damaged by fishing gear. Stone and his colleagues dove about 60 times in their survey of the Aleutian Islands. He says they saw damage from fishing gear on about half of those excursions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just get him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
It is a lot of fun down here in the South. Let me tell you. Boy, I'll tell you. Tonight, down here in Atlanta, Georgia, over here at the World Congress Center, up on that stage, by God, we had Saxby Chambliss, we had Zell Miller, we had Sonny Perdue, and we have the stiff-legged, freak, warmongering, murderer, neo-Nazi George Bush, too. It was really something to see. Zell Miller, though, on his knees to this coward. Zell Miller, who is a Marine veteran. Zell Miller, who understands that another veteran who left three limbs in Vietnam, Max Cleland, was viciously attacked by this little punk-ass coward, Saxby Chambliss, in the 2002 election. Zell Miller knows this. Zell Miller cut an ad for Max Cleland during the last election. Talking about Zell Miller stood there and said the attacks on Max Cleland are outrageous. Max Cleland left two legs and an arm in Vietnam. Max Cleland is the senator I support. Max. And yet here was Zell Miller tonight up on the stage with Saxby Chambliss, the unconscionable Republican thug who took a picture of Max Cleland and morphed it into Osama bin Laden. There was Max Cleland, there was Saxby Chambliss, who helped engineer the theft of the office that he now holds. There was George Bush, who helped engineer the theft of the office he now holds. There was Sonny Perdue, who helped engineer the theft of the office he now holds. And there was Zell Miller. And to the best of my knowledge, Zell Miller never stole an election. Zell Miller was a hillbilly populist from the mountains of North Georgia who kicked ass and took names and was a solid, hardcore Democrat. Not a white Southern Democrat, a Democrat. I don't know what happened to Zell Miller. But there he was on the stage tonight with three cowards, three liars, three cheats, and by extension, three mass murderers. And there was Zell Miller supporting them all. There he was. There he was. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing to me. And he introduces George W. Bush as a man he's going to vote for in the next election. A man who has power and strength and steel in his spine. George Bush has steel in his spine? Oh, my God. Now, somebody asked Zell Miller a couple of months ago, why don't you just go ahead and become a Republican? You are in all but name only. And he said, no, I'm a Democrat. I can't do that North Georgia accent. I will be a Democrat until I die. No, you're not, Zell. You're a shill and a punk and a liar and a turncoat and a sneak, and you should be ashamed of yourself. Oh, Jesus, you should be ashamed of yourself. Now, there were thousands of people who showed up to, thousands of people. It was $2,000 a person to get into this, I can't say the term, but if you were ever a teenage boy and hung out with the other teenage boys, well, you know. It cost like $2,000 a head to get in. And everybody who came in got a copy of Zell Miller's new book. Matter of fact, when Too Stupid to Be President was finally introduced by Zell Miller, the first thing out of his mouth, Bush's mouth, hey, I like being introduced by a top-selling author. And there they all stood. I've never seen anything like that. Even Southern politics, which is, I don't know, how do you explain Southern politics, right? Huh? White Southern politics. How do you explain it? You just don't. You can't. It's a combination of possum stench and booze and back slapping and cigars and lynching and I don't know. You have to live here to really, really appreciate it. But there he was. There they all were. I've never seen anything like it, y'all. Somebody sent this to me. Mike, novelist Jane Smiley wrote, quote, I see people who are Republicans as people who have aligned themselves with the worst features of the American character. I call them the gruesome threesome, toxic patriotism, toxic religion, and toxic racism. I guess Victor sent this to me. And then Victor says, Mike, I agree with her 100%. Well, yeah, I do too. That's what, there are normal Americans and then there are Republicans. And Republicans are the people who have totally signed off with secular Satan. They think they haven't signed off with their religious view of Satan, but they probably have done that too. But I don't know. Zell Miller fits right in there. Toxic patriotism, toxic religion, and toxic racism. I just don't understand. And Zell Miller was never a racist. And he never beat the drum for this phony-ass Christian faith that is so prevalent here in the South. Oh, he might have beat the drum a little bit occasionally for his brand of flag-waving patriotism, but you kind of grant that to a former Marine. You understand what I'm saying?
but you don't grant it to a deserter like George Bush, a coward like Saxby Chambliss, and an absolute buffoon like Sonny Perdue. So there he was up there. I will never understand what has happened to Sal Miller. Middle-aged crazy? Well, he's more in middle-aged. How old is he? He's in his 70s, isn't he? Early 70s, Kathy? Sorry, bastard. Pete's calling from Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Pete.
Hey, man, I got a few things to cover with you.
Yo, let her rip.
Hey, let's start with Zell Miller, first
sure.
of all,
yeah,
since
all right.
you're on that. Here's my question for Paul Begala's big buddy, Zell, and Tom Daschle. This is where the Democrats have no guts and no fight.
Well, I don't think Begala still considers Zell, even though that's how I've mentioned before, that's how I met both Carville and Begala, is they helped get him elected.
Well, here's the thing. If it was a Republican was turning on Mr. Bush, the way Zell's turning on the Democrats,
mm-hmm.
their office would be in the bathroom. Their staff would be cut to nothing.
Yeah.
They would be openly shunned by everybody.
But the Democrats won't do that.
No, Tom Daschle won't do it. Why? Terry McAuliffe won't do that. Oh, they'll bitch about Nader, but, oh, Zell Miller, it's yeah. like, you know.
It's incredible.
The ugly cousin.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on. But, you know, Zell can run off with the mouth. I mean, it's just amazing. But I tell you what, I get a kick out of O'Neill's book. Was Zell Miller one of those deaf guys? Or was it Kerry and Lieberman and Gephardt when it was a blind man talking to the deaf?
Well, I think he was talking about the cabinet.
Ah.
I think he was talking about George Bush addressing his cabinet was like a blind man talking to a room full of deaf people.
But I get a kick out of it. Now, I don't want to bash some of these Democrats, but I'll tell you one thing. If they went after Bush and if they were asking these probing questions that they are of the general and, of course, Mr. Dean, we wouldn't be in this mess. I mean, I hope you feel the same way. I mean, I'm looking at these Democrats. They've been a tool of the corporate media. All last week, they brought on Lieberman, every channel, and the first thing they would ask him, they'd open him up to tear up Dean. Open him up to
sure.
tear up Dean.
Sure.
Now, I look at Mr. Edwards, son of a mill worker, all this, multimillion-dollar lawyer. You know how much pro bono work he's done in his career? None.
No.
Zero.
Yeah.
Not a freaking thing.
You know who Michael Moore endorsed today?
Yeah, he endorsed the general. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Well, I've got his statement, and I'm going to share it with folks here in just a few minutes, because his reasons for doing it, Michael Moore's reasons for doing it, are actually kind of intriguing. Keeping in mind, of course, that the general was accused at one point of damn near starting World War last during the battle in Kosovo. That was when Clark issued an order during the war on Yugoslavia. He was NATO's supreme commander, and he ordered the British general to block Russian planes that were about to land at the Pristina airport. The British general refused to obey. And there was an exchange quoted in Newsweek where the British general said, "I'm not going to start the Third World War for you." Now, I don't know how much of that is hyperbole and just overblown, I don't know. But I do know that that was the accusation against Clark, that he damn near started World War III. So I've got Michael Moore's statement, and I'll do it in a few minutes.
Well, my deal and my take on the general is this. The Terry McAuliffe's, the Democratic Leadership Council started off thinking that Lieberman may actually have a chance. And it's all economic. Look at the trade policy. Look what's going on. Look who's getting rich. Look at finance. Look at Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Dean wasn't playing ball. Lieberman didn't have a chance. They poured all that money, you know, into Lieberman would be a waste. They created a general. I don't think the general woke up one day and said, "Hey, I want to be president." I think some money men from the DLC walked to the general and said, "Hey, do you want to be president? This is what we'll do. This is how you run." And I think that's how that started. I mean, I could be way out there in left field. I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you right now.
Well, that's essentially the same way that Eisenhower was approached.
Mm-hmm. But the scary thing is the economic problem in this country is getting worse and worse.
I know.
And nobody wants to address it. The only guy who's addressing it in the news media is Lou Dobbs.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And the big bet is, how long are they going to allow him to address it? You know, Chris the Screamer, He's got no clue. Scarborough and that? I mean, MSNB, General Electric, is actually an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And that was Dean's big mistake. He said that he wanted to tear up some of these media empires. You don't think the people at CNN heard that. You don't think the people at ABC heard that.
Right.
And the knives have been out for 2 weeks. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, they've gone after Howard Dean. That's another thing I haven't seen in a long time, is the unending attack on Howard Dean. It is just awful. And I think the only two people who haven't attacked him are Kara Mosley-Braun, who's now out of the race, and Dennis Kucinich.
Well, and the bottom line is you watch it, too. They're pretty slick how they do it, and they wonder why their credibility's falling fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what's the media going to do in another 5 years? Because right now, they're balancing where Pravda was in 1970. I mean, another 5 years from now, the media is going to have absolutely no credibility.
Well, but I don't think they want credibility. They just want to make money.
Well,
they don't give a damn.
Nobody does it better than General Electric. When they have Scarborough on, mm-hmm. they talk about the war and bashing Democrats.
Right.
They always have the stealth bomber and an F-14. And I'll bet you $1,000 those are GE motors in those fighter planes.
I'll bet they are, too.
Hey, take care, buddy.
Thanks, Pete. All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. A lot of politics tonight, as Pete brought it up, and it kind of segues into what we're doing this first part of the program. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, had emailed me earlier today. He says, I absolutely love... Let me preface it by saying, how bad has it gotten? Here's how bad it's gotten. Chris writes, I absolutely love the jackass Iowa director of Dick Gephardt's campaign. He's on C-SPAN as I write this and just got done intimating that Howard Dean is, quote, Bush Light, end quote. Excuse me while I attempt not to choke on my breakfast. This is from a Gephardt campaign director? Pardon me if I had the sun in my eyes, but wasn't Dick Gephardt standing next to Bush in the Rose Garden supporting his massacre in Iraq? And Dean is Bush Light? Well, I hope you didn't choke on your breakfast, Chris. Carol Mosley-Braun, 4 days before the Iowa caucuses, bows out. She threw her support, as insignificant as it is in Iowa, please, behind Howard Dean. Before her announcement, a Democratic source said Ms. Braun felt it was time to quit because her campaign had not caught fire. I guess so. I guess that would be one way to put it. The source said, quote, Carol felt like she had done what she needed to do. She ran a good race, and now she felt like it was time to hand it over to someone who can win. These are the feelings that were expressed to me this evening, end quote. So Carol Mosley-Braun steps aside. But now there's a fistfight breaking out between Dean and General Wesley Clark. Have you heard about this? Yesterday, Howard Dean, according to CNN, trained his rhetorical guns on Wesley Clark. And Dean questioned Clark's credentials as a Democrat, which Dean said of the retired Army general and former NATO Supreme Commander, who, by the way, declared himself a Democrat just before he entered the presidential race last year. Howard Dean said, he's a good guy, but I truly believe he's a Republican. Dean went on to say that if Clark were to win the Democratic presidential nomination, the general election would be, quote, the Republican primary, close quote. Now, Clark responded. He called Dean's comments old-time politics and said he's a Democratic conviction. Clark said, quote, when I got out of the military, I was courted by both sides. I chose to become a Democrat. And he added that he's voted for Al Gore and Bill Clinton. Of course, Gore has endorsed Dean. General Clark said, as a Democratic nominee, I will bring a lot of other people to this party, and that is one of the things we have to do to win. Which brings me to Michael Moore's endorsement of General Wesley Clark. Our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Mary Ann, sent this to me. Mary Ann is backing, I guess I can say that, right, Mary Ann? Sure. Is backing General Wesley Clark. It's a rather lengthy statement. Just go to michaelmoore.com and you'll see it. But he starts out by saying, many of you have written to me this past month asking who are you going to vote for this year? I've decided to cast my vote in the primary for Wesley Clark. That's right. A peacenik is voting for a general. What a country. He goes on to say, and I'll have a little bit more of this after the break, but he goes on to say, I believe that Wesley Clark will end this war. He will make the rich pay their fair share of taxes. He will stand up for the rights of women, African Americans, and the working people of this country. And he will cream George W. Bush. More of Michael Moore's statement in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm so carefree with a joyless heart. And sometimes again it seems all I have is worth. Then you balance in my own side.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour, let's see if I can get in as much as this as I want to share with you. Wesley Clark has been endorsed now by Michael Moore. Woo! Michael Moore says, I have met Clark and spoken to him on a number of occasions, feeling him out on issues, but more importantly, getting a sense of him as a human being. And I have to tell you, I found him to be the real deal. Someone whom I'm convinced all of you would like, both as a person and as the individual leading this country. He's an honest, decent, honorable man who would be a breath of fresh air in the White House. He is clearly not a professional politician. He is clearly not from Park Avenue. And he is clearly the absolute best hope we have of defeating George W. Bush. This is not to say, Michael Moore writes, the other candidates won't be able to beat Bush. And I will work enthusiastically for any of the non-Lieberman eight who might get the nomination. But I must tell you, after completing my recent 43-city tour of this country, I came to the conclusion that Clark has the best chance of beating Bush. He is going to inspire the independents and the undecided to come our way. The hardcore, like us, already have our minds made up. It's the fence-sitters who will decide this election. The decision in November is going to come down to 15 states and just a few percentage points. So I had to ask myself, and I want you to honestly ask yourselves, who has the best chance of winning Florida, West Virginia, Arizona, Nevada, Missouri, Ohio? Because that is the only thing that's going to matter in the end. You know the answer, and it ain't you or me or our good internet doctor. This is not about voting for who is more anti-war or who was the first anti-war candidate or who the media has already anointed. It's about backing a candidate that shares our values and can communicate them to middle America. I am convinced that the surest slam dunk to remove Bush is with a four-star general, top of his class at West Point, Rhodes Scholar, Medal of Freedom-winning gun owner from the South, who also, by chance, happens to be pro-choice, pro-environment, and anti-war. You don't get handed a gift like this very often. I hope the liberal left is wise enough to accept it. It's hard when you're so used to losing to think that this time you can actually win it. It is Clark who stands the best chance, maybe the only chance, to win those southern and midwestern states that we must win in order to accomplish Bush removal. And if what I have just said is true, then we have no choice but to get behind the one who can make this happen. Michael Moore. There's more to his statement. It goes on and on and on. And I want you to read it. Go to michaelmoore.com. Check it out. And right after the break, tell me what you think. All right? Come on. Come on. You folks are hardcore liberals just like I am. Here's Michael Moore endorsing Wesley Clark. What do you say? What do you say?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My
my fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Barely half of Americans say George W. Bush deserves to remain in the White House. One poll found that 42% believe Bush does not deserve to return to office, compared with 51% who think he does. Democrats triumphed primarily on domestic issues, with 51% saying they were better placed to handle the environment, the highest score for either party on any issue. 48% preferred the Democrats on health care, and 45% picked them to deal with Social Security. Half of all those questioned, 49%, said they were likely to vote for Bush in November, regardless of whom the Democrats nominated, compared with only 39% who said they were likely to choose the Democrat. Nevertheless, they said the numbers underscored that Washington insiders were continuing to lose ground and outsiders were continuing to gain. George W. Bush is seen in Europe as an emperor, and many Europeans find that difficult to accept, says Prime Minister Jose Aznar. The combination of being a Republican, of being an emperor, a Texan, and outspoken is a really bad mix, Aznar said in an interview Wednesday. The Prime Minister said he had kidded Bush about his image in Europe, telling him he outdid former President Reagan in unpopularity. Bulgaria said on Thursday it had temporarily cut its peacekeeping duties in Iraq due to its soldiers' anger and plunging morale after a car bomb killed five of their colleagues last month. Chief of Staff Nikola Kolev told a news conference that coalition allies had taken over patrolling at some checkpoints around Iraq's holy city of Karbala and escorting convoys transporting food, fuel, arms, and soldiers from Kuwait to Iraq. He said the main reason to give up some of their duties for the time being was concern that troops could clash with locals after the bombing, which injured dozens and destroyed one of their bases in the city. Michael Moore has thrown his support to Wesley Clark with a letter to his fans on his website entitled, "I'll be voting for Wesley Clark. Goodbye, Mr. Bush." He is quoted as saying, "I have decided to cast my vote in the primary for Wesley Clark. That's right, a peacenik voting for a general. What a country. I believe that Wesley Clark will end this war. He will make the rich pay their fair share of taxes. He will stand up for the rights of women, African Americans, and the working people of this country. And he will cream George W. Bush." More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Fear of mad cow disease hasn't kept Celia Cohn from eating her beloved deep-fried cow brain sandwiches. She's more concerned about what the cholesterol will do to her heart than suffering the brain-wasting disease found in a cow in Washington State. "I think I'll have hardening of the arteries before I have mad cow disease," she said, picking up a brain sandwich to go at the Hilltop during her lunch hour. "This is better than snail, better than sushi, better than a lot of different delicacies. The brains, battered with eggs, seasoning, and flour, puff up when cooked. They're served hot, heaping outside the bun." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
When you hear a highly paid athlete say about a new contract, it's not about the money. You can bet it's about the money. Likewise, when you hear a corporate chieftain say about a new advertising campaign, it's not meant to be intrusive. You can bet it's meant to be very intrusive. Indeed, the very idea of advertising is to intrude into your head, doing whatever it takes to get there and plant a brand name like some alien pod of commercialization. Take the exec who made the not intrusive assertion. He's a Toyota honcho, and he just ponied up $100 million for branding rights to the basketball stadium in Houston. That means that this taxpayer-built facility will now be called the Toyota Center. It'll be covered inside and out with Toyota's logo and ads. Its lounge will be named Lexus Lounge. Its parking garage will be named for Toyota's Tundra trucks. It will have Toyota vehicles positioned prominently throughout the arena. And there will be a Toyota sales office at the games, staffed with sales reps hawking the cars. But at least, it's not meant to be intrusive. Then there's the brand new public monorail system in Las Vegas. Its naming rights are being sold to corporations that'll plaster the place with their logos and ads as though they own it. First to buy into this monorail was Nextel, the phone huckster. It'll have one of the system's trains covered with its corporate colors, name, logo, and promos. One of the monorail's main stops will be named the Nextel Station, complete with a store and a Nexpert bar staffed with employees promoting products. Yet Nextel's VP for marketing says, "I'm sensitive to the issue of over-commercialization." Yeah, like a hog is sensitive to overeating. You want sensitive? The ad agency peddling the people's monorail says it doesn't see the system as transportation, but as transportainment. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Take me now, Lord. I've lived too long."
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back, 7:30 past the hour. So I'm curious, your opinion about Michael Moore endorsing Wesley Clark, okay? Just one more little bit here on Moore's statement. It's rather lengthy, but just a few more sentences here. You can check it out yourself at michaelmoore.com. He's endorsing Clark unqualifiedly, if that's a word. He says there are times to vote to make a statement, there are times to vote for the underdog, and there are times to vote to save the country from catastrophe. This time we can and must do all three. I still believe that each one of us must vote his or her heart and conscience. If we fail to do that, we will continue to be stuck with spineless politicians who stand for nothing and no one, except those who write them the biggest checks. My vote for Wesley Clark is one of conscience. I feel so strongly about this that I'm going to devote the next few weeks of my life to do everything I can to help Wesley Clark win. I would love it if you would join me on this mission. And then he lists a bunch of reasons why he, Michael Moore, feels that way about Wesley Clark. Now, I have to admit, tickling in the back of my mind has been the reality of Wesley Clark being a candidate who could whip George Bush's ass, since somehow the Democrats who go off to fight the wars have allowed themselves to be labeled anti-military by the cowardly Republicans who stay home with cysts on their ass or leg injuries or brain diseases or whatever excuse Republicans, all of them, use to avoid military service, Republican politicians. And Wesley Clark would certainly demolish an attempt. One thinks, although there is always the example of Saxby Chambliss and Max Cleland here in Georgia. Max Cleland was a veteran. Max Cleland did come home a triple amputee from Vietnam. Saxby Chambliss hid from the draft. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Michael Moore is wrong where it concerns the South. Maybe Michael Moore is right. Maybe Saxby Chambliss' victory over Max Cleland was the result of tampering with the voting machine programs. Every single vote cast in the state of Georgia in the 2002 election went through a voting machine. Okay? So, we don't know, do we? Now, regarding the situation with Wesley Clark almost starting World War III, Paul Kirkland in Cambridge, England, our UK Cambridge UK bureau chief, sent me an email. Mike, the story about Clark and Kosovo is absolutely true. When the movement of NATO troops into Kosovo proved necessary, Russian troops who were acting as part of the implementation force in Bosnia entered Kosovo from the east via Serbia and secured Pristina Airport. Clark ordered the British commander of the ground invasion, General Mike Jackson, to evict the Russians from the airport by force if necessary. Jackson refused, and General Clark reminded Jackson who the boss was. Jackson again refused, saying, quote, "I'm not starting World War III for you, General Clark," end quote. Clark backed down when the British General Staff backed Jackson. It was all big news here in the UK and the rest of Europe. Thanks, Paul. I remember that. I was in Chicago working at WLS at the time, and I remember that, and I remember being very, very concerned. I didn't know Wesley Clark at the time from Adam's house cat. I thought the policy was a Clinton policy, not a Wesley Clark policy. I don't know. I realize it was a NATO operation, but let's be real. If the United States gets a cold, NATO gets pneumonia. So I do remember the situation. Until the primaries are over, I'm going to back Dennis Kucinich. And I've made it real clear, and I love the people who listen to this program who back Howard Dean. Bless your hearts. I love the people who back Wesley Clark. Bless your hearts. The ones who back Gephardt. Okay. The ones who back Lieberman, no, I don't like you very much. But I'm going to stick with Kucinich. I understand. I mean, I can read and I can relate to what Michael Moore is saying. But I've made my commitment, and I'm going to stick with it. Now, once the primaries are over, if Kucinich is not the candidate and General Wesley Clark is, I will back him like I would have backed Kucinich, with just as much enthusiasm, no compromise, no holding back, because like Michael Moore, like you, like most of us, I believe that George Bush is the single biggest threat to the integrity of this nation that we have ever, ever, ever faced. But we're not there yet. And even Moore says he's going to back Clark through the primary season, and whoever the Democratic nominee is, unless it's Lieberman, Michael Moore will come on board. And I feel the same way about Dennis Kucinich. So, what do you say? All right, what do you say? Jack is calling from Washington D.C. Hey, Jack.
Mike, how are you, sir?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good to talk to you. I hope I get to talk to you many more times after February, that's for sure.
I hope so, too,
pal. I keep my fingers crossed for you, buddy. In fact, I know you're not going to promote this unless you have, and then I'm making an ass out of myself, but I invite everyone to go on whiterosesociety.org and sign a petition that Ben has up on there.
Yeah, I know it's there. I know. I haven't mentioned anything. I think Kathy.
Why don't you give a little self-promotion?
Well, I think Kathy put a link to that petition on my website. I think she snuck in and did it. I'm just not very good at self-promotion. I just have a hard time doing it.
I'll do it for all of Mike's listeners. There's this petition on WhiteRoseSociety.org to get Mike a job so he doesn't join the rest of us in the unemployment line. And I highly recommend it. It's a good network, and I hope that everything works out
well
for you, buddy.
Thanks, Jack.
As far as Wesley Clark, I got a couple ideas on this. The first thing is, to my knowledge, and the statement I read from Michael Moore when he first endorsed Clark was that he heard Clark mention Moore's name. This is Moore talking. And how he actually liked a lot of the things that Moore said. It was then, after that, Moore admits, that he started doing a little research on Wesley Clark and then said, well, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That just seems a little fishy. That almost seems, well, if you like me and you're willing to say good things about me on TV, say good things about me on TV, I'm going to do the same for you. And so I've always felt that was a little fishy. And if it were for any other candidate, except for Lieberman, of course, I might even believe it. But there's so many things that Clark believes in that are just totally, in its essence, against the things that Moore believes in. And it just seems really weird.
Well, did you read the whole statement by Michael Moore? Because he lists, let me see here, seven or eight. Specific items. He says, here are the reasons why I feel this way about Wes Clark. He talks about Clark is committed to ensuring that every family of four who makes under 50 grand a year pays no federal income tax, none, zip. He's 100% opposed to the draft. He's anti-war. On issues like racism, he doesn't just mouth liberal platitudes. He does something about it. On the issue of gun control, this hunter and gun owner will close the gun show loophole. He'll overhaul the Patriot Act and restore constitutional rights to privacy and free speech. He'll cut the Pentagon budget, blah, 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 blah.
Sure,
so,
but, well, as far as guns are concerned, a lot of the candidates are sharing that opinion. As far as the Patriot Act, I think, at least Kucinich is supporting the abolishment of that. So that's nothing unique about Clark.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that I'm keeping my eye on is Clark's involvement with war. And there's a Newsweek article that was written back, I think it was either 99 or 2000, about Clark going into the Kosovo War and the lies that he told about it regarding how much of the Serbian army the NATO troops destroyed. Clark and tons of congressional reports that said we had destroyed 50% of the NATO or of the Serbian army, and it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also about his involvement of sending ground troops in. A lot of people give him a lot of credit for the way in which the war was handled, but a lot of that was Clinton's reasoning. And I mean, I've spent 6 to 8 months in Kosovo myself, doing humanitarian work and working in that area. So I have a little bit of an inside idea about what was going on there. And, you know, this is a guy who wanted to send in ground troops. I mean, you would not have had the cliche stump in which he's spouting off of right now and how, you know, he fought a war where not one American died. It's not his reasoning or his thought process that sustained that. It was Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in fact, the reason why, after the war concluded, that Bill Clinton fired his butt.
Yeah, well, I knew, yes. I didn't know the exact details, or I don't remember them, but I know, yeah, he was cashiered. Essentially, his command was taken from him. And usually, we civilians don't understand why, you know, that's all done very secretly, very quietly, because it's such a profound, I think the last time there was a public cashiering of someone of his stature was when Truman fired MacArthur.
And you know what? Actually, let me also qualify what I'm saying with a lot of the other reason he was fired, too, was because, like MacArthur, he kept on going to the media and spouting his mouth off. But a lot of it had to do with him going off in his own ideas about how the war should be fought. It was Bill Clinton who pulled the reins on him, or he would have had a total ground war now.
But isn't it odd that it's Bill Clinton who's backing him?
Well, I mean, has Bill Clinton officially gone out and backed him?
No.
You're not going along with Robert Novak on this and saying
No. There are other sources who say that this is the Clinton candidate, and I have no reason to doubt it. I don't know that Clinton has made I don't think Clinton's made a public statement yet, but
sure. I don't know. Again, you know what? Anybody who, to tell you what kind of man Wesley Clark is, and I respect him in some areas, but to tell you what kind of man Wesley Clark is, go to Yahoo or Google. Maybe Kathy can do this for you for your show. I've been trying to find it for the last 2 minutes on the net because I didn't know I was going to call you or I would have had it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Newsweek article that's published everywhere, and you can buy it if you want for $3 off of Newsweek's website. And it's this really great report telling about the lies that he told to Congress and to a lot of the public about how the war was conducted. And then Congress sent out their own fact finders and about what damage was done and how the war was conducted, and a lot of it wasn't true.
All right, well, let me ask you, do you buy into the idea that's put out there by Michael Moore and a lot of other people that the only Democrat who can really whip George Bush's ass would be a former NATO commander like Wesley Clark?
No. In fact, it would be good to have, say, Dean have that on his resume. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that would work against you. I think the more important thing right now is to have a candidate who has an infrastructure in place that could counter the campaign of Bush. Bush, it's been told by many of his advisors or his campaign advisors and whatnot, that he's not going to be, so to speak, waging an air war. He's not going to be focusing on campaign commercials. I think the Democrats actually took a lot of the thunder out from him by waging their own air war. Everyone's sick of it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be those people on the ground shaking hands, volunteers, knocking on doors. And you know what? Al Sharpton said it best in one of the debates when
Quickly, we're running out of time.
Broca said that, you know, you don't have the money. Sharpton said, well, someone needs to do something besides money. And Dean's got that. Dean's got those volunteers.
All right. Jack, thank you. I appreciate your comments, sir. We're flat out of time. The segment. Stay with us.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000.
First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Time until the last IE America.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. I certainly cut Jack off pretty abruptly there, didn't I? Sorry about that, Jack. A couple of emails from Robert. Michael Moore is clearly suffering some supported Nader guilt. And despite what he says is supporting General Clark because of the electability issue and only because of the electability issue. And by the way, Mike, Dean is toast. The media has made certain of that with the repeated anti-Dean message from the corporate media. It's over for Dean. He stands as much a chance as Dennis Kucinich. I'm a Kucinich supporter, but Dean is my second choice. The media took care of Kucinich by ignoring him, and now they have taken care of Dean by bashing him. It looks like Moore is right. Clark, 04. I just wish he were wrong. From S. Mike, the one image I cannot get out of my head is Wesley Clark's giddy schoolgirl anticipation of shock and awe as a cable news expert commentator in the run-up to the Iraq War. There is no doubt in my mind that he is not peace-minded. In fact, he is sexually enchanted by overt military force. This is a no-brainer. Clark has spent his entire life in the study of how to best destroy things. He may be against the Iraq War now that it suits him, but Clark was a shock and awe cheerleader last year on cable news. And finally, from Mad About Harry, hi, Mike. As you know, I am supporting Clark in this race, and my reasons are exactly the same as Michael Moore's, except I think he has one extra little reason, more. I think he feels a great sense of responsibility for his foolish support of Ralph Nader, an act, I believe, assisted George Bush in stealing the presidency. I believe that Moore thinks so, too. Okay, some of your comments. Back to the phones. Joe, Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
I'm all right.
How you doing?
Well, Ann Richards, she thinks Dean still wins.
She did endorsed, who'd she endorse?
She endorsed Dean now.
Oh, did she?
Sure did on Larry King Live.
Huh.
I just caught a little of it. You know, I was torn between listening to you on the radio and running there Larry, and listening to her while y'all was advertising. And,
well,
she endorsed Dean in that.
Being a combat vet as you are, what do you think of Wesley Clark as a potential presidential candidate, especially where it concerns beating Bush?
Well, I won't be quite honest with you. He's got some policies that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't damn sure beat Bush, you know.
Right.
I do know that he will get more support off through the South.
Yes, he will.
I mean, this is a few people I've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that's who my daddy's support, and well, just my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And the veterans group I'm in, there was one guy claimed to be independent, and he said he'd definitely vote for Clark.
Well, if Clark is the nominee, and I've said this before since the beginning, if Dean is a nominee, if Clark's a nominee, if any Democrat out there, with the exception of Joe Lieberman and Al Sharpton, if they were the nominee, I would vote for him. Had it been a Lieberman or Sharpton, then I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but because I don't like Sharpton. I think he makes great sound bites. I think he's witty, but I think he'd do a better job doing what he has done for the past 20 years, except the Tawana Brawley thing. As far as Joe Lieberman is concerned he ought to come clean and be like Zell Miller, and the both of them switch over to the Republican Party. But any other Democrat in this group, I would support.
Yeah, I would. I'm like you. I'm still for Venice.
Yeah, let me put you on hold a second, and I'll come back to you, Joe, because I haven't given you a whole lot of time. Got to take a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are starting to pay more attention to cool coral. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of coral reefs grow in the warm waters of the tropics, but scientists are starting to find more coral in very different environments. They're finding it in water that's cold, deep, and sometimes very far north. Bob Stone is a marine ecologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he works out of a laboratory near Juneau, Alaska. He's documented an expanse of coral organisms near the Aleutian Islands in more than 1,000 feet of water. Stone says people have known for years that coral grew in those waters. Commercial fishing operations routinely dragged pieces of it to the surface in fishing gear. But no one knew what the seascape looked like until the summer of 2002. That's when Stone rode to the seafloor in a small research submarine and took pictures.
I said it reminded me very much of places that I've been to in the tropics, and it did, both in terms of the colors and the structure of the corals. You know, some of them are low-lying, some of them are high, some of them look like trees, some look like bushes. So it truly looked like a tropical seascape to me. Most of them are orange, of course. That seems to be the predominant color for a lot of our sea life in these northern latitudes. I'm not really sure why, but there were other colors too, you know, some greens and purples and even some blue sponges and stuff.
Stone says the ocean bottom was like a vast, colorful garden. He routinely uses the term coral garden to distinguish these environments from coral reefs that form in much warmer water. The cool corals are fragile and grow slowly, and people are worried that they're being seriously damaged by fishing gear. Stone and his colleagues dove about 60 times in their survey of the Aleutian Islands. He says they saw damage from fishing gear on about half of those excursions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I look for the light through the pouring rain.
it's a game that I hate to lose.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Joe in Cypress Springs, Texas. Now, where were we? We're talking about Wesley Clark's chance.
Clark. His position on he played the uranium shells.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him on C-SPAN one morning, and he got a call about that. And he said that there wasn't nothing wrong with depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had been proven for 20 years, and I'm definitely not for that policy.
Right.
I think science, I think we know better than that.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff I don't like about Clark, but I could vote for him.
If he's the nominee, you'd vote for him.
If he's the nominee, yeah. I tell you what, I'd put him up next. And my deal would go from Kucinich to Dean. Clark.
Right.
Pretty much probably in that order, I imagine.
Okay. All right, Joe. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in tonight.
All right.
All right. You take care. A couple more emails here. Robin in Victor, West Virginia. Mike, those who are solidly behind Wesley Clark are backing him for one reason only. Like Bart Kopp and oh so many of us, they yearn to see Clark square off on Bush in a debate. And to watch Clark say, I know where I was in 1972. George, where the hell were you? There's only one problem, Mike. It won't happen. Assuming Clark wins the nomination, Herr Rove will never permit a situation to evolve in which the above scenario could play out. You may also rest assured that the Bush cabal already has a scenario in place to tar and feather Clark as Clinton's boy, thus permitting Bush to run the 2004 election as a smear on Clinton, a man who will not be in much of a position to answer. That's why the vulgar junkie, that would be Limbaugh, has tarred Dean with a much broader brush than he has Clark, nicknaming Dean Nikita in the early days of Dean's candidacy. In short, I can well imagine that Clark is Bush and Company's candidate of choice. They're mortally afraid of Dean because he can't be pinned down. He doesn't get married to position papers and will respond ferociously to typical GOP nastiness. If Kucinich makes a half-decent showing in Iowa, the White House gun sights will swivel onto him, too. For both men, Kucinich and Dean are offering a real choice to the present nightmare. Jesus, Robin writes, I sound like a pundit. I'm going to go wash my hands and have a good gargle. Well, that makes sense. And from Reverend Debu, Mike, I'm really disappointed in Michael Moore for endorsing General Clark. Back in 1992, I drew a cartoon which criticized Ross Perot, calling him the grab bag candidate. The cartoon shows a guy cheerfully holding up a paper bag and announcing, I don't know what it is, but I'll take it. A lot of people leapt aboard the Perot bandwagon because he was not a politician. Politics is the only profession where a total lack of experience is considered to be a plus and where people are considered more qualified by being less qualified. I see people recklessly hopping on the Clark train now without stopping to look inside his grab bag candidacy to find out what he stands for. He's not especially forthcoming with specifics. The other candidates have records and are fairly clear about what they intend to do with the presidency if they get it. Clark, on the other hand, is basically popular because he's unqualified as a non-political. I want a president who knows the system, knows how to wheel and deal, and knows how to get what he wants out of other politicians. I want a president who knows the ropes and won't be a stranger to the job he has to do. In order for a president to be at all effective, he has to know the system intimately. Clark is not that man. And I agree with what others have pointed out already. Clark is like Lieberman, a Democrat in name only. With his close ties and affectionate praise for members of the Bush crime family, he, if anybody, is Bush Light. Well, some email comments from some of you folks. Check out michaelmoore.com. His essay put up there yesterday, I'll be voting for Wesley Clark. Goodbye, Mr. Bush, by Michael Moore. And see what you think. Josh is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just want to say I don't agree with Michael Moore's position, but it's a choice a lot of us Democrats are having to make. It's like we're told, you know, we're so urgently wanting to get Bush out of office. It's like anybody who can take them down, we're willing to get behind. But personally, I think Kucinich could win against Bush. I think Dean could win against Bush. I think Clark could win against Bush. We don't know, but I've decided I'm gonna back Kucinich until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like you, Mike.
Right. So is there a Democrat who might get the nomination other than Kucinich that you could not back, that you would honestly say, I'm sorry, I can't do it?
It'd be difficult. I'd have real questions about, you know, like a Lieberman. But Bush is just such, to use strong words, I mean, he's essentially a bastion of evil as far as
I'm
concerned.
Yeah, well, I agree, as you know, if you listen to this program at all. I think he's evil incarnate.
Yeah, I think Lieberman's too conservative. He's not the kind of guy I want as president, but I'll take him over Bush.
Lieberman will never get a single vote in the South, and sadly, it has nothing to do with his politics. It's because he's an Orthodox Jew, and people in this country are simply not going to vote. I'm talking about non-Jewish white people are not going to vote for an Orthodox Jew or a Reformed Jew or any sort of a Jew to be president of the United States. It's just not going to happen. We are still too hung up, and even more so now, I think, than we were maybe 5 or 10 years ago on this religious insanity, even though the Christian right, the Protestant Christian right, seems to want to make alliances with the Israelis. They want to make alliances with the Israelis, not with the Jews. And it's a shame. It's a sad fact of this country. But a black woman like Carol Moseley Braun or a white Jewish man like Joe Lieberman could never get elected, not in my lifetime, not in yours, and probably not in our kids or grandkids. That's just the way it is in this country. It's sad, but it's true.
I hate to say that that's true, but it is. But I think Kucinich has got some strong points going in against Bush. I mean, he's the one guy who provides a clear alternative.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out, he says exactly what he wants to do. He's got true liberal policies. The man's got total integrity, and I think we need somebody who's not just going to go in there and stop the bleeding that Bush is taking the sword to this country, and we need somebody who's not just going to stop the bleeding, but is actually going to heal those wounds, you know, and go back and start fixing things.
Yeah, yeah.
And get back to the liberal traditions of this country.
I hear that. Hey, thanks, Joe. Is this your first time calling?
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, I hope it's not the last.
I hope so, too.
We've got 32 days and roughly 19 hours left that will be on the air, so call in again, Josh, if you would.
All right,
sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Just got an email from our webmaster, Mark Marshall. He's put up a clock at the Malloy website. Go to the gallery page. At the very top, there's a countdown clock. What? What, Kathy? You don't want me to say anything about that? Why not? Well, it's not a surprise. It's not, everybody knows. It's okay. I can talk about the fact that the network is going, and I'm not going to be here, and you're not going to be here. I mean, if somebody can't handle that, to hell with them. Wayne is calling. Used to be in Ackworth, Georgia. Have no idea where you are now. Where are you?
Oh, just a little bit down the road, Marietta. How you doing?
Oh, okay, Marietta. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, that's bad news. The outlets are getting fewer and fewer where people can actually speak the truth, although I have to say I'm rather proud of the folks here in Atlanta that at least got a chance to make some noise, because most of the other places, when, you know, whoever he showed up, you were like 22 miles away behind an 8-foot barbed wire fence.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I don't know. You know, I just can't believe the viciousness with which went on the airwaves up here. And I know you know the market, Mike. But, these people spout such hatred over the open airwaves, and they just think nothing about it.
Yeah, I know.
And they disparage everybody that they can disparage, and that, you know, that's basically anybody that doesn't agree with whatever their point of view du jour is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just getting, it's not getting, it's been out of hand for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see why Soros or, you know, I don't know what the political leanings of Bill Gates is, but, or even at a grassroots level, for crying out loud, you know, we've got to come up with something to break this AM's, you know, AM conservative garbage that they keep pumping out.
Well, sure. But I'll tell you what, it's going to take a long time, Wayne. Media control in this country is firmly in the hands of conservatives, and Dennis Kucinich is president, and a million Democrats in the House and the Senate are not going to change that, okay? There will never be a time that the Fairness Doctrine will be reinstituted. I don't care who says that they have hope that it will. I don't care if it's part of the Kucinich or Dean or Clark or anybody's platform to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine. It's not going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. What is going to happen with media in this country where it concerns providing more than just a hard right Republican point of view is, I think, maybe if these media companies are approached with the reality that they are missing half the audience, and if they program more liberals on the air, they would pick up more advertising dollars, because the fact is 50% of people did not vote for Bush, are not Republicans, and would listen to a liberal doing talk radio. So the only way this is going to change is to approach these blood-sucking bastards that own these media companies on strictly a financial level. They couldn't care less about balance or fairness or equality or presenting more than one point of view. The only thing they care about is money. That's it. And they can be approached on that if the right sort of approach is made. If this new network coming out, if they can prove that they can pick up audience, that'll get somebody's attention. This program has picked up audience, but most radio programmers are terrified to put this program on their air for fear I might say son of a bitch some night, or I might take off against Christian conservatives, and the result of that could be, you know, some kind of boycott or phone calls to the general manager, you know, that sort of thing. So,
sure, but... Well, you know, just as an outside shot, it looks like to me where I don't know how the strategy goes in taking over broadcast stations or putting out a format that, you know, you basically want to sell in a package across many different stations. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that the approach that they're missing, and maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, they need to get some the business people, you know, that are successful, like Ben and Jerry, and some of the folks that do, you know, that did vote for the real president, and say, look, it's time to put your money where your mouth is.
Well, I hope that happens, but, you know, my complaint has been for a number of years, long before I came to work for this network, long before I worked for WLS in Chicago, my complaint has always been that limousine liberals do not put their money where their mouth is. They sit back on their well-padded asses, and they bitch and complain and moan about how the unfairness of it all. But when time comes to break out the checkbooks, or when time comes to put together resistance, they're nowhere to be found. So I don't know if that'll happen. Wayne, I appreciate you checking in. Got to move on, pal.
I'll be back with you soon.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Hi, Matt is calling. He is our Idaho Bureau Chief. Hey, Matt.
Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you? How's the smoke jumping business?
Well, it's slow right now. We got about 4 feet of snow in front of the front
Boy,
of the house here.
I got a little bit nervous. I hadn't heard from you for a long time, and I knew all those fires in California, and I thought, well, maybe you went out there, and God forbid, now couldn't be. I'm glad you finally checked in.
Yep, I thought I'd just say hello, seeing as you got 32 days or so left. Dear God.
I'll wind up somewhere.
That's what I'm hoping, and I'm figuring that. Hey, I just wanted to, went to Mike Moore's site.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd, I don't know, throw it out there. I mean, just from my humble opinion, it certainly, I'm a diehard Kucinich supporter. I've donated, and I'm watching the campaign. I was really stoked to see that the Truth Out poll, how that, you know, the straw poll, how that turned out. That was pretty exciting, I thought.
It was.
But I'll be honest, I'm a big Michael Moore fan, and from my camp here, it's opened my eyes. I mean, and you know what he says on his third thing here, the you know, his whole anti-war stance, and when I hear him, you know, when he writes this out here, you know, see him on the stage with Bush in a debate, you know, general versus the deserter.
Right.
I don't know. There's something there. There's something about that, and I mean, if anything, it's. I'm going to definitely, I'm a little more interested anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I believe that all of us Democrats should thoroughly check out and investigate all the candidates. I'm a Kucinich supporter. I'm a Kucinich backer. I have not spent an awful lot of time until recently checking out Howard Dean's positions. I have not spent any time until now checking out Wesley Clark's positions. I think I know Gephardt's positions because he's been around. It seems like he's been around forever. I think I know Lieberman's positions because he ran with Al Gore for the president, you know, for the vice presidency. So, I think all of us who are Democrats need to understand exactly, to the best that we can understand, depending on how much these candidates reveal, where they stand. And I've said before, I will, you know, I'll continue to back Kucinich, but if Kucinich is not the Democratic Party nominee, I will back. If it's Wesley Clark, Howard Dean, I'm sort of like Joe down in Texas. Dean is my second choice. I don't know who would be third choice. It is intriguing to me. It truly is.
As being a child of the media, I think a lot of us are. I know I am, obviously, right. TV. And growing up, I've got, icons, I guess you'd call them. I don't know if Michael Moore is an icon to me, but I've certainly, all the way from Roger and Me, and I've just been following him. And I have this certain bizarre trust in this guy.
Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you. I got to take a quick break here, Matt. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Makes me want to cry. Think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
5 before the hour. Back to Matt, our Idaho Bureau Chief. Matt, thanks for holding on.
You bet. Well, you know what? I was just getting out there a little bit. I feel silly a little bit saying it, you know, this child of the media or whatever, and it's this strange, this faith I have in this guy that I trust, and it feels strange because I've never met him. You know, I get a talk with you. It's a similar thing with you, maybe in some ways, but at the same time, regardless, I have this trust, and I bring that up because I understand. I mean, even some of the stuff I've looked at with Clark, you know, there's some questions I have, and some of your callers earlier were talking, you know, they brought up some of these things, and I guess if at this point for me right now, at least I'm looking at it through trust. You know, I mean, for some reason, Michael Moore seems like a pretty smart, sharp guy. He's backing us. I mean, obviously, it seems for like an obvious statement, but I mean, that's kind of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I think for most of us, we rely on people, I know I do, that we consider to have more insight into a given situation or more knowledge on a given situation, and we rely on them, if not to be convinced that their way is right, we at least rely on them to maybe give us some insight or a different way, excuse me, of looking at a situation. I know that's exactly what I do, and it sounds to me that that's what you're saying you do.
Yeah, you bet. Well, hey, I just want to check in. And, hey, Mike, I haven't said it. Happy New Year. 2004,
thank you.
So much more, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. You take care.
Will do.
All right, sir. Our smoke-jumping bureau chief from Idaho. All right. I guess we have I've got some more emails here on this topic from Eric in Houston I want to get to. And from Lincoln. Or, no, who's this from? It's from Barbara. From Hamish. Also from our bureau chief in Aurora, Illinois, Marianne. From Lorraine in Satellite Beach, Florida. And Victor and Helena. And they're all pertain to what we're talking about. Lois, also in Monroeville, PA. They all pertain to what we're talking about. And I realize we're really, really hammering at this topic tonight. But I think it's important. So what we'll do is take a quick break here and come back and do it some more. Rob is calling from opednews.com. Rob Call, I take it. Right, Rob?
Yeah.
Hey, just in time to say, hey, Rob, can you hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. We'll be back momentarily. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I didn't think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch when charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Michael Moore has shown his support to Wesley Clark with a letter to his fans on his website entitled, "I'll be voting for Wesley Clark. Goodbye, Mr. Bush." He is quoted as saying, "I have decided to cast my vote in the primary for Wesley Clark. That's right, a peacenik voting for a general. What a country. I believe that Wesley Clark will end this war. He will make the rich pay their fair share of taxes. He will stand up for the rights of women, African Americans, and the working people of this country. And he will cream George W. Bush." Surveys indicate a recent surge in support for Clark in New Hampshire, site of the campaign's first primary, may be taking hold nationwide. The poll appeared to reflect Clark's sudden rise in support in New Hampshire, where private polling by two campaigns showed that Dean's once formidable 25-point lead had shrunk to single digits. Bulgaria said on Thursday it had temporarily cut its peacekeeping duties in Iraq due to its soldiers' anger and plunging morale after a car bomb killed five of their colleagues last month. Chief of Staff Nikola Kolev told a news conference that coalition allies had taken over patrolling at some checkpoints around Iraq's holy city of Karbala and escorting convoys transporting food, fuel, arms, and soldiers from Kuwait to Iraq. He said the main reason to give up some of their duties for the time being was concern that troops could clash with locals after the bombing, which injured dozens and destroyed one of their bases in the city. George W. Bush is seen in Europe as an emperor, and many Europeans find that difficult to accept, says Prime Minister Jose Aznar. The combination of being a Republican, of being an emperor, a Texan, and outspoken is a really bad mix, Aznar said in an interview Wednesday. The Prime Minister said he had kidded Bush about his image in Europe, telling him he outdid former President Reagan in unpopularity. Barely half of Americans say George W. Bush deserves to remain in the White House. One poll found that 42% believe Bush does not deserve to return to office, compared with 51% who think he does. Democrats triumphed primarily on domestic issues, with 51% saying they were a better placed to handle the environment, the highest score for either party on any issue. 48% preferred the Democrats on health care, and 45% picked them to deal with Social Security.
More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Runners with the fastest feet usually win medals, but cattle that hoof it too fast may yield tougher stakes. Jerry Baker, a University of Georgia livestock specialist, has developed a scoring system that allows cattle owners to assess the temperaments of cattle so that they can breed calmer calves. Scientific studies conducted in Australia, Colorado, and elsewhere have shown that serene cattle gain weight faster and provide more tender meat than cranky cattle. When meat from the cattle used in the Georgia test was checked, the most tender cuts came from cattle with calm dispositions.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
When you hear a highly paid athlete say about a new contract, it's not about the money. You can bet it's about the money. Likewise, when you hear a corporate chieftain say about a new advertising campaign, it's not meant to be intrusive. You can bet it's meant to be very intrusive. Indeed, the very idea of advertising is to intrude into your head, doing whatever it takes to get there and plant a brand name like some alien pod of commercialization. Take the exec who made the not intrusive assertion. He's a Toyota honcho, and he just ponied up $100 million for branding rights to the basketball stadium in Houston. That means that this taxpayer-built facility will now be called the Toyota Center. It'll be covered inside and out with Toyota's logo and ads. Its lounge will be named Lexus Lounge. Its parking garage will be named for Toyota's Tundra trucks. It will have Toyota vehicles positioned prominently throughout the arena. And there will be a Toyota sales office at the games, staffed with sales reps hawking the cars. But at least, it's not meant to be intrusive. Then there's the brand new public monorail system in Las Vegas. Its naming rights are being sold to corporations that'll plaster the place with their logos and ads as though they own it. First to buy into this monorail was Nextel, the phone huckster. It'll have one of the system's trains covered with its corporate colors, name, logo, and promos. One of the monorail's main stops will be named the Nextel Station, complete with a store and a Nexpert bar staffed with employees promoting products. Yet Nextel's VP for marketing says, "I'm sensitive to the issue of over-commercialization." Yeah, like a hog is sensitive to overeating. You want sensitive? The ad agency peddling the people's monorail says it doesn't see the system as transportation, but as transportainment. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Take me now, Lord. I've lived too long."
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We were just about to talk to Rob, who has called in from opednews.com. Thanks for holding on, Rob.
Sure. Well, when I turned... tuned into you tonight, there was a fellow talking who was feeling pretty dejected. And last couple of days, I've been getting a lot of letters from right wingers, and they get the letters that they send have this attitude like, "We've taken over the country, we're a massive majority now, and you're ready for the museum, and you're a piece of the past." Mm-hmm. And I have to remind them that Bush didn't have a majority. He did not have any kind of major mandate. But, you know, the thing is, it's amazing how they all think that way.
Oh, sure.
They all think that we've been beaten and it's all over. And
yeah,
it's far from that. I think that the energy that we're seeing in the campaigns for the primaries is just incredible. And as long as we don't get ripped off... in the electronic voting and the way that what happened in Florida, you know, with the voter rolls and what have you, mm-hmm. I think we're going to cream these thugs, as you call them, which is a word I love, by the way.
Well, I hope that's the case. I think this time more than ever, although just about every year that there's been an election since I've been on the air, which is damn near 20 years, I bitch and moan and exhort and plead and yell and beg people to go vote. This year, more than ever, people who don't go, if I'm talking about Democrats, I couldn't care less if Republicans voted. I do know that since they are brain dead, robotic kind of people, they'll do whatever Rush or George or the rest of these thugs tell them to do. But if Democrats don't vote and we lose it because of poor turnout, that's it. I write off the entire political system.
Well, we got a sign of hope in D.C. I mean, they had a real good turnout there for a primary that didn't even mean much.
Well, that's true. They what was it, 24% of the vote or 26%? I forget what it was. That's still, I don't even know that it was that high. But
well, it was relatively high compared to previous elections.
Yeah. I just know that this year coming, the vote coming in November on November 2nd. I swear before anything that I hold holy, which come to think of it is nothing, but I just swear it on my honor. How's that? That if the American public, once again, if we have 52% of the possible voters or some half-witted number like that go to the polls, I resign. I truly resign. I may still stay in radio if I'm in radio at the time, but then I'm going to switch my program to lifestyle. I'm going to bring on a relationship specialist. I'm going to bring on people who understand pets. I'm going to talk about stuff that has nothing to do with politics, because at that point, Rob, I will have totally tossed in the towel. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't mean to sound like a defeatist. I'm trying to convince Democrats to get off their asses and go to the polls and vote and take 10 people with you. You know what I'm saying? Especially this year, and I'm so sick of it. I am so sick as an American citizen of watching elections being decided by if you have, for example, let's pick a number, 50% of voters, qualified voters or potential voters turn out, and 60% of those vote for the Republican. That means 30% of the qualified voters determined who's going to lead this congressional office or that senatorial office or the presidency. And if Americans have gotten to the point where it is that unimportant to them, then what the hell am I doing bashing my head and bloodying my nose every single night, doing what I do? I will have had enough. And I would imagine there are other people who feel the same way. It's like, this is it, man. This is it. November 2nd this year.
Can't start on November 1st. People need to be working on it now, because you've got to get a momentum building. You've got to get a wave that just crests at November 2nd. We've got to get people out. The people who are listening to you and me now have to go out now and reach out to people and get them to go to the movie that Move On has and get them to go to meetups for whoever they support. And they've got to start now to get people, so that each of those people that they bring in will get 10 people.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Rob, thanks for checking in, pal.
Sure.
All right, sir. Okay, I just want to do these, and then we're going to move on. I've got some sound from the whiz kid, Scott McClellan, that Kathy has selected. I want you to hear. But just let me finish it up with these emails. This is from C. Choose any one of these five, Clark, Lieberman, Gephardt, Edwards, or Kerry, as a Democratic candidate, and I'll be voting for Paul Martin, because I'll be leaving for Canada in the nearest car. And wow, there's one parked outside right now, Paul Martin, of course, being the Prime Minister of Canada. I don't begrudge Michael Moore his right to choose who he wants to vote for. It just seems to me that he doesn't stand back and weigh everything before making his choice. You'd think this would be some kind of consideration when someone such as he, someone who could influence others to look or take a second look at a candidate, makes his pick. Give me Kucinich or Dean in that order, and I'll be at the polls. Give me any of the other five, and I'll be at the border. Okay. Give me Kucinich or Dean, and I'll be at the polls. Give me any of the other five, and I'll be at the border. That's funny. Okay. You don't think it's funny? I think it's funny. That's from C. That's all I'm going to say. From GK in Middletown, Connecticut. That's a follow-up. This is from Eric in Houston. Mike, let me skip the second paragraph. I started going to Dean meetups last February and volunteering. Given the size of crowds he was drawing, even here in conservative Houston, I was very encouraged and became very pro-Dean. Even though I am much more fiscally liberal than Dean, or really any of the candidates running, besides Dennis Kucinich, I wanted to support someone that I knew could beat Bush. But lately I've been reconsidering my support because, one, Dean cut social programs as governor of Vermont, and two, the way Dean has handled the attacks against him since he became the front runner. I have a great amount of respect for Michael Moore, primarily because he's a liberal my conservative friends will watch and listen to. So his endorsement does carry weight for me. I'm also wondering if Clark would be more supportive of social programs, since the military has run much like a socialist organization, i.e. everyone has enough food, medical care, even great recreational facilities on the base. So I am considering changing my support. I do have a question. I've seen numerous polls showing Dean losing to Bush, even in Democratic states like Illinois. Do you think this is indicative of Dean, or is it simply because Bush is the incumbent and there is no Democratic nominee yet? It seems strange for Dean to be doing so badly in polls when Bush's reelection numbers are only around 50%. I'm always suspect.
And now.
I'm always suspect of polls. And now, stay out of here, Robin. I'm always suspicious of polls. I really am. So I think when Dean is polled against Bush, I think part of the lower number for Dean is that people don't know who he is. And it's up to his campaign to bypass the media, which they've done a hell of a good job at doing, and get him known. From Barbara, we can discuss all we want about who is who to back or who will beat Bush, but we really know that the Republicans will steal the election. All we can do is go through the motions. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really hope. Oh, Barbara, I hope you're wrong, too. From Hamish, Mike, sheeple vote for telegenic four-star veterans who do not sport wounds more disfiguring than a central parting. I guess you mean in their hair, right, Hamish? Triple amputees turn people off. That would be Max Cleland. Might not be nice, but it's a fact. Margaret Thatcher knew that when she banned the disfigured from the victory parade after the Falklands War. By the way, Hamish is our... where's Hamish? In Scotland? I think that's where he is. When Margaret Thatcher banned the disfigured from the victory parade after the Falklands War. As for Wesley Clark and Pristina, well, there is a sentimental fondness in Britain for gruff British generals who tell their pushy U.S. counterparts where to get off. This extends to what in the U.S. would be called liberals, especially when a lot of us are doubting the advisability of bombing, even to the extent of misreporting the event in The Guardian and Independent. Of course, the British general concerned, Michael Jackson, was involved with the Bloody Sunday shootings in Northern Ireland, a small fact that, if published more often, might tend to diminish the fondness for the British protagonists in these isles. In fact, the truth was that Clark was acting in consultation with the NATO chief, Javier Solano, and the truth might well be somewhat more prosaic. For what it's worth, I think that Clark would represent a victory for the DLC and their support for mugging with a human face. Okay. Boy, you people crack me up, man. You really do. From Mary Ann, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Max Cleland supported Bush. Bad move. In reference to Cleland getting beat. Just listening to your last two callers, and she's talking about at 10:40, I would refer you to Sid Blumenthal's book, The Clinton Wars. I consider that one of the definitive books on the presidency. For instance, your current caller is just wrong. That's about how Clark got fired. From Blumenthal's memoir, The Clinton Wars, quote, at the Pentagon, a graceless note was struck in July 1999 when General Clark was summarily retired as Supreme Allied Commander of Europe. This was a personal slap at him for having insisted on ground troops in Kosovo against the Pentagon's recommendation and for his sharpness in pursuing that strategy. And the White House had been snookered without realizing it when it had earlier agreed to what Sandy Berger and others thought was a routine replacement process at the Supreme Allied Commander's office. But if it was held against Clark that he was a political general, it was a mistaken impression. Clark had, in fact, put his strategic concerns above politics and above his career. Clark was called at night and informed of the president's or of the Pentagon's decision without being given any recourse. He instantly received a call from a Washington Post reporter who had been tipped off by the Secretary of Defense's office to confirm the story. When the president, Clinton, learned what had happened, he was furious. I'd like to kill somebody, he told me. But there was nothing to be done. Clark's enforced early retirement from the European Post was a fait accompli. Secretary Cohen and General Shelton had considered Clark insubordinate. Clinton awarded Clark the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the British gave him an honorary knighthood. But the Pentagon's treatment of Clark left a sour taste amid the triumph. And yet every single pundit of the left and right claims the opposite. Well. And then Marianne, that's the end of the quote from Blumenthal's book. Then Marianne says, similarly, for the nonsense about Clark wanting to start a war with the Russians, I'm amazed that everyone has swallowed the version offered by disgruntled officers. Clinton did not want the partitioning of Kosovo. Clark blocked the airport and negotiated with the Russian commanders. He's fluent in Russian. By the way, most people know about the incident with General Jackson because Clark himself mentions it in his book. Anyway, the general will have to deal with the maelstroms of misinformation just like Clinton had to. So stay tuned.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The
Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Yeah, we sure do, stupid boy. All right, just two more here. From Lorraine in Satellite Beach, Florida, agreeing with Marianne's quote from Sid Blumenthal's book. Mike, your caller is not giving correct information regarding Wesley Clark. President Clinton did not fire General Clark. It was Secretary Cohen and General Shelton who harbored ill feelings about General Clark and forced his early retirement about 3 months early. Both Cohen and Shelton misrepresented their action to Clinton by telling Clinton that General Clark was due for retirement. Accordingly, President Clinton approved their action. Reports are that when Clinton learned he had been deceived about General Clark by Cohen and Shelton, he was very angry. That would be the quote that Marianne shared with us from Blumenthal's book. President Clinton never stopped supporting General Clark, and they remain friends today. It is important that we Democrats stop spreading false stories about our group of candidates, because we are going to have to ultimately support one of them. And General Clark is looking like a strong possibility. It's from Lorraine in Satellite Beach. And from Lois in Monroeville, PA, Mike, I guess opinions are just that, opinions, but it doesn't make sense when I hear the comments of Dean being toast. Is this based on the fact that the polls were showing Kerry 22% and Dean's having slipped to 21% tonight? Or is it that it's so easy to whine against the boogeyman? Look, Lois writes, this race, from all appearances, is a close one in Iowa. Interesting to note, though, are all the young votes being pulled in for Dean in that state. The high schoolers had a caucus of their own, and Dean overwhelmingly won. The young voters in Iowa, by the way, can vote this time if they turn 18 by this November. Basically, what I think we have here, Lois writes, are a lot of people who have never had the chance to vote that will vote. And, of course, those people who have been disconnected who may vote. That and only that will make the difference in Iowa, in my not-so-humble opinion. I support Dean, and I listened to him last night over C-SPAN. All I ask is that others listen and hear what he is saying. Last one, GK in Middleton, Connecticut. Anyone who cannot articulate Clark's positions has not visited his website. He has been very clear and deliberate in his positions on taxes, economic growth, education, and national security. He's a damn Rhodes Scholar, for crying out loud. Democrats, wake up. Clark is the only person who cannot be labeled by Bush and Rove. They fear him desperately, which is why he doesn't even get mentioned on Fox Jazeera. From GK in Middletown. All right. Thank you all for the lively discussion and livelier input, almost livelier, on this particular topic. The earlier today, MoveOn.org had announced that they were negotiating with CBS, the network that's carrying the Super Bowl. We're concerned getting the winner of the MoveOn.org Bush in 30 Seconds political advocacy spot on CBS during the Super Bowl. Well, late flash here from Mark. Viacom's CBS Today rejected a request from MoveOn to air the 30-second anti-President Bush ad during the Super Bowl, saying the spot violated the network's policy against running issue advocacy advertising. A CBS spokesman said the decision against broadcasting the spot had nothing to do with either the Super Bowl or the ad's specific issue, but was because the network has had a long-term policy not to air issue ads anywhere on the network. Really? Is that true? I didn't know that was true. You can go to adage.com, or you can go to several places, go to MoveOn, and see the winner. The winning ad is so good. There's no voiceover. Nobody says anything. It's a series of shots of children 10, 9, 8-year-olds doing things like washing dishes in a restaurant, working in a factory, collecting garbage, doing traditional blue-collar jobs, kids, you know, little kids, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And then at the end, there comes on the screen something, I forget it exactly, but guess who's going to be paying for Bush's deficit or Bush's, for the budget deficit? And here's these little kids. It's a great ad, and it's utterly and absolutely silent. If you haven't seen it, you need to check it out.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are starting to pay more attention to cool coral. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of coral reefs grow in the warm waters of the tropics, but scientists are starting to find more coral in very different environments. They're finding it in water that's cold, deep, and sometimes very far north. Bob Stone is a marine ecologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he works out of a laboratory near Juneau, Alaska. He's documented an expanse of coral organisms near the Aleutian Islands in more than 1,000 feet of water. Stone says people have known for years that coral grew in those waters. Commercial fishing operations routinely dragged pieces of it to the surface in fishing gear. But no one knew what the seascape looked like until the summer of 2002. That's when Stone rowed to the seafloor in a small research submarine and took pictures.
I said it reminded me very much of places that I've been to in the tropics, and it did, both in terms of the colors and the structure of the corals. You know, some of them are low-lying, some of them are high, some of them look like trees, some look like bushes. So it truly looked like a tropical seascape to me. Most of them are orange, of course. That seems to be the predominant color for a lot of our sea life in these northern latitudes. I'm not really sure why, but there were other colors too, you know, some greens and purples and even some blue sponges and stuff.
Stone says the ocean bottom was like a vast, colorful garden. He routinely uses the term coral garden to distinguish these environments from coral reefs that form in much warmer water. The cool corals are fragile and grow slowly, and people are worried that they're being seriously damaged by fishing gear. Stone and his colleagues dove about 60 times in their survey of the Aleutian Islands. He says they saw damage from fishing gear on about half of those excursions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Yes, You are indeed. 27 before the hour. Diane emailed in about John Edwards, and no, we didn't talk about John Edwards tonight, and I apologize for not bringing up if your candidate. And I don't, I'm not trying to be patronizing here at all, but if we didn't mention your candidate, I do apologize for it. The reason we came up with this was because the shock and awe of Michael Moore, to me anyway, the shock and awe of Michael Moore endorsing General Wesley Clark. And then it kind of expanded out into the Dean and Kucinich thing. So, Diane, my bad. Perhaps we can talk about Edwards one night. And our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, says that even though the ad will not run, MoveOn.org's ad will not run on CBS during the Super Bowl, apparently it's going to be run on CNN from the 17th to the 21st of this month. So if you can't get it to work at MoveOn.org, you can see it at some point on CNN. Maybe our award-winning and wizard-like webmaster, Mark Marshall, will put it up on our gallery page. I don't know. Do you think he can do that, Kathy? Oh, he can do anything. But, I mean, is that... Yeah, that's allowed. You can do that. All right. Before we get back to your calls from yesterday, we just have a couple of simple Scotty McClellan quotes. We'd like to bring these in for the dark, miserable, dank, spiderweb-encrusted comedy that simple Scotty McClellan always brings to the White House press room briefings. When you couple his robotic responses, he sounds like a robot sometimes on speed. When he's in the middle of a robotic answer and one of the pertinent White House reporters tries to interject, he speeds up just a little bit. And, of course, the crack White House reporter immediately shuts up. So it's kind of fun in a very macabre sort of way, a very sick, perverted sort of way, but that's the state my mind is in right now. It's dark and macabre and sick and perverted. I just had a bunch of people out there who are listening in the dark go, yeah, Mike, yeah. All right, on Bush's space plans. You remember those? Seems like 1,000 years ago that Bush was out there talking about space. One of his trying to be Kennedy-esque. On Bush's space plans, one of the crack White House reporters says, Scott, on the cost... in the short term, whatever additional money that NASA gets, Scott, can we expect that its budget will remain within the 4% that the president has decreed for other than homeland defense, huh, Scott?
Most of the funding we need for new endeavors will come from reallocating money that was in NASA's current five-year budget. And that current five-year budget was $86 billion. And we will continue to look at the needs as we go forward each step of the way.
Oh, that's okay, yeah. Each step of the way. I feel like Hansel and Gretel. You're trying to find my way out of the forest. Each step of the way, following the breadcrumbs. What the hell are you talking about, Scott? never mind. It doesn't matter. Still on Lost in Space, another reporter says, Scott, you said it's no longer a race. It's a journey. Why is it no longer a race? And when you talk about international cooperation, well, you got to love how simple Scotty compares Bush to Kennedy yet again.
Well, I think there was a lot of competition back in the Cold War, if you'll recall, between the United States and Russia.
Yeah.
And if you go back to some of President Kennedy's earlier remarks, that's what I would refer you back to. And the president will touch on this in his remarks.
Oh, okay. What's the word of the day, Kathy? Remarks? Huh? Last question on space. A reporter says, Scott, the Mars rover is on Mars right now. You cited a list of benefits about space exploration. The Mars Spirit rover is in a position to look for and find water and signs of life right now at a fraction of the cost of the president's plan, even in the immediate years, let alone the huge cost in the out years. At the same time, Scott, there are millions of people who are without work here on Earth. And crying out with domestic needs, Scott. Why could the president not take the same money, spend it on education, health care, and other things that will, A, address needs now on Earth, and, B, create a lot more jobs?
I went over some very important health benefits from space exploration just a few minutes ago that have helped to improve the quality of life for people here, as well as to save lives. I went through some specific examples. No, some health benefits. When I talked about in response to April's question, when I talked about some of the technology that we've developed because of space exploration, from the kidney dialysis machines to the insulin pumps, to the CAT scanners and MRI technology. So there have been some important benefits. But I think what the president will talk about here is, again, a step-by-step process. This is a long-term vision.
You see what I mean about how the robotic part of him speeds up just a little bit when they try to interrupt and say, well, what? CAT scan machines? What? Oh, God. Okay, is this really funny? I don't know. It's macabre. I said it's macabre. It's dark humor. It's cemetery stuff. Okay, on the Paul O'Neill controversy, a reporter says, Scott, is the White House or the president himself satisfied with some of the clarifications or retractions? I think Secretary of Treasury Paul O'Neill made some corrections, right? Some clarifications, right, Scott?
Yeah, no, I saw that. Again, I think that the way we look at it is... We've got a lot to do here in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the American people. The president is focused on the people's business. I know there's some media interest and that you all get caught up in these kind of things, but the president of the United States is focused on getting things done and continuing to build upon the results that we are achieving for the American people, particularly when it comes to bringing about a more prosperous America and a safer and better world.
Oh, yeah? When's some of that going to happen? You smarmy, patronizing bastard, you. You patronizing punk. I know that there's some media interest in that you all get caught up in these kinds of things, but the President of the United States is focused on getting things done. For who? For Halliburton? For Kellogg Brown and Root? For Bechtel? When somebody is condescending to me or patronizing... I have to tell you something. I'm terribly sorry. I have to admit something. Oh, God, this is awful. When somebody gets patronizing or condescending with me, I want to kill them. You know, I can take insults. I can take, face-to-face confrontations. I can handle all that. I can even take a little backstabbing. But patronizing, condescension... Yeah, it immediately connects with the reptilian part of my brain, and this growl starts somewhere in my gut and comes erupting out. And if there's a knife or a gun nearby, watch out. That's awful, and I hate to admit it, and I'm probably going to wind up either in prison or in a mental hospital when that finally takes control of me. Okay, last one. On the same line, another reporter follows up. See if you can count the lies... In Scott McClellan's answer, it's a rather lengthy question. The question is, Scott, there are some people, however, who are looking at O'Neill's words very seriously. And Senator Kennedy, just within the hour, said, well, he accused the president of putting a spin on the truth to justify a war that could well become one of the worst blunders in more than two centuries of American foreign policies. Scotty goes on to say that the administration has broken faith with the American people, aided and abetted by a congressional majority willing to pursue ideology at any price, even, Scott, at the price of distorting the truth. Is there any concern that there's a group of Americans who do not trust the president and they don't believe his argument that they're using? They're accusing him of using the fear of September 11th to support making the case for war. Do you think there are any Americans out there like that, Scott?
Let me remind you that the world is safer and better because of the action that we took to remove a brutal regime from power in Iraq. The president worked to exhaust all diplomatic means possible before taking the action that we took.
Oh my God.
If you recall, the international community, through the United Nations Security Council, gave Saddam Hussein one final opportunity to comply after some 12 years of defiance of his international obligations. That resolution, passed unanimously by the United Nations Security Council, called for serious consequences. The president took the action he did because his most solemn obligation is to protect the American people.
Okay, how many lies? His most solemn obligation, you little rat bastard. I know Karl Rove sold you to keep saying that because it sounds good to the brain-dead ditto heads out there. His most solemn obligation is not, for the last time, Scott, you moron, not to protect the American people. That's what the military is for. His most solemn obligation is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And as far as the resolution passed unanimously by the United Nations Security Council, Scott, it did not call for war, you lying bastard. It had nothing to do with war, you lying bastard. Nothing to do with war, Scott. Lie number three, the president worked to exhaust all diplomatic means possible before taking the action that we took. That's a lie, Scott, you lying bastard. You did not work to exhaust all diplomatic means. You turned your back on diplomacy. George Bush said he went to war because he ran out of patience, Scott. And it's up to a psychologist or somebody who's involved in family therapy to figure out what it is between George and his father. What is it, a question of whose wee-wee is bigger? Is that what George W. Bush is fighting against? Is it because mommy wants Georgie to go poo-poo in the potty and not on the floor, and Georgie just can't get it right? And daddy's standing back there watching, going, oh, Georgie, you're such a mess. It's not for us to decide that. It's for a good Freudian to decide that. And lie number one, the world is safer and better. Or lie number five, four, whatever the hell it is. Safer and better because Saddam Hussein is not in power? Really? Is that the truth? We're safer and better? More Americans are dying? We're going to code oranges and red alerts and green this and pussy that and run over here and hide in the basement. And, oh, my God, look what's coming. Scott, you're a liar. Oh, well. So much for that. Georgie won't go poo-poo in the potty? Where did that come from? Oh, my God. But that's what it seems like, doesn't it? You know, I've got five children, all right? And I can remember potty training with all of them. And for most of them, it was no big deal. Well, matter of fact, for all of them, it was no big deal. But the Freudians, is it Freudians? Is it Jungians? Who is it, Kathy? You know this stuff. Who talk about the terrible, terrible life-scarring results if somebody can't get the poo-poo in the pot. It's Freud? Okay. Can you imagine if you're an 18-month-old, if you're 15, 16, 17 months old and you're a little boy and you're trying desperately to get the poo-poo in the pot and your mother happens to be Barbara Bush? Oh, my God. I don't know what it is between George and his father, but it is something. Maybe it's not potty training. Maybe it is whose wee-wee is bigger. I have no idea. But there is something there. Something awful. Something Freudian. Something shouldn't be talked about in private, in polite company. I shouldn't be saying this stuff on the radio, should I? But it is there, and you know it's there. You know it's there. And we're stuck between it. We're stuck in it. This country, this planet, we're stuck in it. Oh, well. Kelly is calling from Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Just when you think Erie the Liar is the worst they ever had, they come up with this guy.
Oh, yeah. Isn't this McClellan something?
Do they have, like, a place they train them at, like the Liar Smarmy School or something?
I get the impression, though, with Scott McClellan that he's at least Ari Fleischer could be entertaining. From what I see of Scott McClellan, this guy is really an android. I don't know. He's programmed, and he speeds up just a little bit and gets all weird when somebody tries to interrupt him and say, Scott, that's either not what I asked you or you're not answering the question. Yeah, oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah, it did seem almost like Erie it could possibly have his moments where he was a decent person, you know, in pride.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, at least he was, he could be funny. A lot of his humor, I think, was unintentional. Some of it was intentional. He could come up with a quip or the facile statement. But this Scott McClellan, what a geek, what a jerk, what a little, well...
Well, while you're talking about the Washington Press Corps anyway, did you see that it was about a week or two ago when Dean made some comments about 9/11 or something or other, and a Washington Times reporter asked Bush, he gave him a softball question, an easy way out, but he asked him about 9/11 and did they know about it in advance. And Bush's response was just incredible. did you ever see that?
I did not.
I've got a copy of that somewhere. You've got to see it. It is the most guilty looking thing. He fumbled. He looked down and to the left. He couldn't even look up.
Mm-hmm.
He mumbled for a couple of probably 30 seconds and then said something almost incoherent.
Well, I think George Bush understands that the same God who saved him from his drunkenness and his drug addiction, that same God is going to cast him into an everlasting burning lake of fire because George is responsible for so much gratuitous death. And I think George understands that. He tries to avoid those questions, and when somebody gets a question like that through to him, I think he really, he has that look behind the hot iron door that is the gateway to hell, and he sees what's waiting for him. Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you. Got to take a quick break here, Kelly.
Brother, should I trust the government?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome back to the show that you have to listen to because there are no other shows on mainstream media channels. Although I do want to talk more about me and how Bush is the second coming of God, I'll take a call or two. Okay, Bill in Kansas City. Oh, you want to compliment me? Well, let's get you on the air.
I was just calling to let everybody know that on January 19th, Sirius Left Stream 145 is switching to 143. You suck, and so does your show.
I'm not sure how that call made it through our church-going call screeners, but it won't happen again. This show's about me, right, Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sirius Left Stream 145 changing to 143 on January 19th is very important news, because that's where you can hear good talk radio, not the crap you're putting out.
What?
Loser.
I'm the best thing to happen to radio, and you all know that. That's right. Don't you?
Sirius Left Stream 145 is changing to 143 on January 19th. Still the best political talk radio, but just on a different channel.
Cut to a commercial and play some patriotic music. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's about 4 and a half before the hour, and we're wrapping up here with Kelly, who's called in from Huntsville. Kelly, we got about a minute and a half, pal.
Okay. What I originally called in about was that how CBS Viacom was turning down the Move On ad because they were saying they don't run issue-oriented advertising on the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I just kind of want to remind you that, you know, last year's Super Bowl was the premiere of that issue ad comparing if you buy marijuana, you're supporting terrorism.
Yeah, but I don't think CBS had it last year. A couple other people made that same point in emails here, Kelly, that I think wasn't Super Bowl on was it Fox last year or NBC? But I don't think it was CBS last year. But your point is still exactly right on. If one of these television networks can't do something like this because it's a advocacy ad, where in the hell are we? But I don't think it was CBS last year.
Okay. Well, I was just comparing the two.
And you make a good point.
Okay.
You make a good point. The marijuana anti-marijuana ads or anti-smoking ads, I think anti-smoking ads are good. I think anti-marijuana ads are ridiculous. I think you should raise your kids not to do any kind of drugs. Once they become adults, let them do what they want to do. I guess. I mean, what the hell are we supposed to do? That's how I tried to raise my kids, and I didn't lose any of them to drugs, although I know damn good and well that every single one of them experimented, just like I did. But they're all okay, and I don't think kids should be told, for example, that marijuana will make you crazy because it won't. It makes you high.
Well, it was kind of interesting. I was at a Super Bowl party, and I was in a room full of conservative Republicans.
And they were all smoking dope, right?
No. But when that ad played, I really had my ears peeled, and almost all of them, they were like, you know, that's the most full of it ad I've ever seen.
Well.
And it was ridiculous. I mean,
Yeah. That's what they say when they're watching professional football. When they're outside or they're talking to people in their church group, they'll say, yeah, I don't think any of that stuff is right. Hey, Kelly, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You have a nice evening. Tonight's program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Go to the gallery. He's got the MoveOn.org commercial up there already. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. And, of course, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation.